This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for November 2nd, 2012. I'm Natalie Pynchon. I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published today. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are Diagnostic and Operative Techniques, Oncology, and Infection. Validation of the Surgical APGAR Score in a Neurosurgical Patient Population, a clinical article by John Zewatz and colleagues. The study by Zewatz and colleagues validates the surgical APGAR score in a cohort of 918 patients who underwent cranial or spinal neurosurgery. The score is a 10-point metric that is easily calculated and based on three intraoperative variables: heart rate, blood pressure, and blood loss. It has previously been validated as an independent predictor of morbidity and mortality in a general and vascular surgery population, but its utility in the neurosurgical population was unknown. This study demonstrates that the surgical APGAR score is also an independent predictor of complications and mortality, as well as length of stay, in a neurosurgical population. The worst scores were significantly associated with the highest complication rates, mortality, and length of stay, as compared to the best scores. Importantly, the surgical APGAR score predicted death and complications independently of the American Society of Anesthesiologists' physical status classification, indicating that the surgical APGAR score is not simply a surrogate for preoperative medical condition. The findings suggest that the surgical APGAR score may be a useful objective guide for level of postoperative care in the neurosurgical population. Failed awake craniotomy, a retrospective analysis in 424 patients undergoing craniotomy for brain tumor. A clinical article by Erez Nosek and co-authors. Awake craniotomy for removal of intraaxial tumors within or adjacent to eloquent brain regions is a well-established procedure. Failures of awake craniotomy have not been well characterized. In the present study, the authors aimed to analyze and assess the incidence and causes for failed awake craniotomy. The authors considered the awake craniotomy as a failure if the operation was converted to general anesthesia or if adequate mapping or monitoring could not have been achieved. The database of 424 awake craniotomies performed at the Tel Aviv Medical Center between 2003 and 2010 was reviewed. Awake craniotomies performed in 27 patients were considered failures. Two main causes of failures were identified: lack of intraoperative communication with the patient and intraoperative seizures. Preoperative mixed dysphagia and treatment with phenytoin were related to communication failure. History of seizures and multiple antiepileptic drugs treatment were related to seizure failure. Overall, failures were associated with a lower rate of gross total resection, higher incidence of short-term speech deterioration, a longer hospitalization period, and a higher complication rate. To conclude, successful awake craniotomy was associated with a better surgical and functional outcome. The causes of failure in the present study serve to emphasize the essential need for professional multidisciplinary teamwork in awake craniotomy. Lack of functionality and need for revision of an Omaya reservoir placed into a cavum septum pellucidum. A case report by Justin Robert Massitelli and co-workers. In this case report, the authors inform the neurosurgical community of an interesting and underreported clinical situation. They report on a case in which an Ohmyo reservoir was placed for the purpose of administering intrathecal chemotherapy. The ventricular catheter was placed inadvertently into a cavum septum pellucidum rather than into the intended right lateral ventricle. The catheter's lack of functionality was proven by both an immediate and a delayed ventriculogram that failed to demonstrate contrast dissemination into the ventricular system, which triggered a revision of the reservoir. This is an interesting case because a cavum septum pellucidum can be either communicating or non-communicating. Thus, the authors state that it is important for neurosurgeons to verify functionality of any ventricular catheter placed in a cavum septum pellucidum. Antibacterial therapeutic drug monitoring in cerebrospinal fluid. Difficulty in achieving adequate drug concentrations. A case report by Dagan Lonsdale and colleagues. Pharmacokinetics of antibiotics in critically ill patients differs significantly to that in non-critically ill patients. This difference alters the distribution of the drug and also tissue concentrations. Another problem in the critically ill is the penetration of such drugs across membranes. This too differs from other patients. Antibiotics need to get to the site of infection to be active. While tissue concentrations are impossible to measure, antibiotic concentrations in the cerebrospinal fluid can provide a better indication of cerebral levels than serum concentrations. The authors measured meropenem and vancomycin levels in the cerebrospinal fluid of a patient with ventriculitis who, for other management reasons, had an external ventricular drain in situ. The authors initially administered standard doses of the drugs. However, to achieve what they believed to be adequate cerebrospinal fluid concentrations, they needed to titrate doses of meropenem up to 2 grams every 6 hours and vancomycin 6 grams per day. To obtain adequate concentrations of antibiotics at the site of infection, very high doses of antibiotics may be needed for adequate central nervous system penetration. Alongside an illustrative case, the author's paper discusses some of the reasons for this in the critically ill, including the concept of augmented renal clearance of drugs in critically ill patients. Thank you for listening. Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group podcasts are contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook. To read articles published this week in any of our journals or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org.